Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Adkins.
How do you do?
How do you do? All right. So, you know what? Lots has happened since the last time we recorded. You know, obviously, we put out weekly episodes, but the last time we recorded, it was, it's probably, I guess, a month ago. And lots has happened in a month. Yes. My father passed away. SBC happened. Just... So much stuff, so much life has happened. And even just in the whole SBC happening and, you know, the Southern Baptist Convention or the Great for the Great Commission Baptist. I don't know. Which title do you land on?
I mean, Southern Baptist Convention, I wouldn't be opposed to the other because of the connotations that currently reside with the naming.
And, yeah, completely. You know,
hey, the gospel's offensive. The name of my convention shouldn't be.
Yeah. So we're not going to obviously get into that. But what we're going to do on today's episode, though, is really continue on with the series that we've been on episode 602 and 604. We started talking about how to build back better, especially in this for a lot of people, this we're kind of in this middle of, are we post-COVID? Are we still in COVID? Kind of seems like we're post, not. And it's just different based on your region. It's hyper localized at this point, at the time of this recording, at the time of this release as well. We really wanted to talk about that tension and in view of the fact that, regardless of where you are right now, in view of the fact that we are going to be going to a post-COVID world, how do you build back better? So episode 602, we talked about remote work. 604, we talked about the idea of how to staff, the idea of, you know, between generalists and specialists. And today we wanted to talk about developing your team, right? How to do team development in this reality where we're kind of still a little bit online, hopefully more and more in person. How do you do that? And ways to do that, and how to re-emphasize and turn the fire up and in regards to team development. So what are some of your thoughts, Todd?
Well, first of all, it's kind of weird to me that we haven't seen a massive increase in the number of people using Ministry Grid on the training side. You know, we have a training platform that is completely digital. We're in a time where digital is being consumed more and more, digital content is being talked about more and more. And so naturally we would have thought the increase would have been, we would have seen a massive increase. At the same time, what's also interesting is that a lot of the things that people would have had training for, they're not doing, churches weren't doing.
Well, so exactly. Yeah.
You're like, oh, well, actually that does make sense. I think that it's been a missed opportunity for some retooling. In a factory setting, you sometimes have to shut down your floor for a while to retool, to reset some of your machines or add new machines or whatever. And when you do, you're like, wow, I'm losing this much production or this much productivity. In some senses, we have had a forced shutdown for a while. And it's a shame that we haven't retooled, I think, better during this time, or said, oh, you know, plenty of churches talked about discipleship. We're going to do discipleship. We're going to go deep. Few actually did anything, I think, with that. So all that to say, I think we're about to come out, as we're coming out of all this in the fall, it's going to be really interesting to see the number of volunteers that are actually needed for ministries. It's going to be, it's almost like, you know, if you're in the northern half of the states, or certainly in Canada, there are seasons of yard care. And so you can basically put away your lawnmower at a portion of the year, mm-hmm. and then you don't get it back out for, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 months sometimes, yeah. it feels like. When you do, it takes a little extra to restart that, you know, a weed eater or whatever it is. Sometimes you have to, you know, prime the pump, check all the stuff, change the oil or whatever. And so I'm thinking, we're in different, yeah, we have different seasons in church life, but it never really stops. And so this time it stopped. And I'm wondering how good we're going to do in shaking the rust out.
Well, that's a great analogy, because I know a lot of the I like the retooling idea, because for us at Beulah, we bought Ministry Grid. We started filming. We audited and mapped out, okay, how are we going to use this? But we didn't necessarily roll it out en masse, because a lot of our volunteer opportunities weren't, I mean, they didn't need training, because we're kind of in this blizzard. So a lot of the retooling and stuff that we had done was more or less along the lines of, okay, we're going to get this ready for when we are full on back in person, and we need to train up a new kids worker or group leader or this, that, or the other. Because really, during the last year and a half, it was a bit, okay, we got to figure out how are we gonna bring people together, or what sort of training do they need in order to lead well, or how do we onboard these people like this? We weren't necessarily thinking systems and massive scalability, because no one knew how long COVID was gonna last for. So I didn't want to build massive systems for a COVID ministry, knowing that we are gonna not go back to what it used to be, but we are going to build back better into a new reality that's not what it was, and it's not what it is.
Man, it really, I mean, it depends on the health of your church going into this. But really, if you haven't already taken a look at some of the stuff that we produced, it's absolutely free. During COVID, I would really say it's a great opportunity to audit your roles and then audit the individuals in those roles to make sure that you're not double counting volunteers or anything like that. But in retooling, it's a great time to just take a step back and look at everything you do, from the actual ministry that you do to the strategy and structure and systems of it to the volunteers and people themselves. So
yeah. So let's just hear a quick word from our sponsor for today, and we'll walk through a few of the foundational pillars that you need for your church plant or for your campus or church that's wanting to multiply when it comes to team development. So let's listen to this word. Jesus's final charge to his disciples was to go and make disciples of all nations. And yet many Christians today struggle to understand what this means for them, and many churches find it difficult to equip the saints for the work of ministry. For the past 15 years, our friends at Downline Ministries have partnered with local churches by equipping men and women to know God's word and make disciples in the context of their homes, their churches, and their communities. They do this through the Downline Institute, a 9-month training program where students are taught Genesis to Revelation, biblical manhood, womanhood, and practical discipleship training. So if you long for a greater knowledge of God's word, a clearer vision for making disciples, and a strengthening of biblical discipleship in your church, check out the Downline Institute. In-person and virtual training options. Downline is offering our listeners $100 off of the tuition costs. Just use the code LIFEWAY when you apply at downlineministries.com. Now back to the episode. All right, so Todd, when we think about the pillars of developing teams, We can't do that without first outlining the fact that you need layers of leadership in your midst. If you want to scale your church plant or your campus or church, you need layers of leadership where you're not doing everything and anything. It's you're leading individuals, you know, well, first of all, you need to lead yourself, and then you need to train people to then know how to lead others. And then once you do that, you can lead leaders, and then you can lead coaches and lead departments. And then, you can lead, and then you have senior leadership leading the church. So, development, having a culture of development where people are learning and growing is important, but what you don't want to do is just basically say, okay, yeah, we need to have a culture of development, so just learn, or whatever book or podcast you're listening to, let's all listen to it. And you know, it ends up becoming this haphazard, random, no scalability, just, yeah, we're all going to do a book club. And yeah, you know what? That is development, and that is better than nothing. But that's not going to get you to where you need to be. That's not going to help you build back better. So, yeah.
It's not scalable, and it's not going to reinforce culture or be intentional in cultivating what you want to cultivate within your church. It is truly organic. And so a lot of times, you know, churches will give the excuse of, oh, well, we just, you know, our style is organic, or this is going to happen organically. And I'm like, well,
or you're a hippie church, right?
Okay. That doesn't sound like a steward. That sounds like, I don't know what it sounds like. I'm going to be nice. The reality is, for a lot of leaders that are listening to our podcast, I feel like they're probably a little different than most in that they are going to take on the weight.
Yeah.
They feel the weight. They shoulder the weight and the burden of this responsibility. So I would say the key factor for you guys is simple structure and systems that will help distribute that weight.
Yeah.
Structure and systems, it sounds like a burden in and of itself. It sounds like, oh, there's so much extra here. I really don't want to do that. I just want to get going, or you know, I don't understand how this helps. Well, it actually is the structure that all that weight is hanging on. It distributes the weight. It distributes the burden beyond yourself. And so even very simple things like a job description, you can argue, well, does the volunteer role come first, or the description or the training? And I would say, well, you can back your way into it, but if you're starting from scratch, you may as well start with that job description, because it's going to inform the training you need. It's going to inform the meeting that you sit down with that person and you make the ask and make sure that you're both clear on what the responsibilities of the role are, what the skills they need, what competencies they need, you know, all of that. Yeah. So simple things like that, something as simple as a one-page job description can really, really help you on your way to retooling.
Yeah. And when you think about that development, there's two categories of that, right? I mean, there's the onboarding sort of development that you need to do. And if you don't have job descriptions, I mean, that's so key, because it just clearly lines out both the requirement side of things, but then the responsibility side of it. But then there's also the flip side of ongoing development. And so when you think about team development from an onboarding manner and an ongoing manner, what I like about that job description is, man, you got to make sure that there's a review date or there's a commitment date. So that's why, you know, I recommend that all of your volunteer roles are only 1-year commitments. And that way it just forces you to do feedback. It forces you to have a conversation. It forces you at the end of the year to be like, well, you know what? If I did a horrible job at developing and I just put this person in like a cog in the wheel and didn't care for them and didn't develop them, yeah, you know what? At the end of the year, they're probably not going to want to serve again. But if I did a if I did a good job, or even if I didn't do one and I realized that I didn't, well, you could have that conversation. They don't just fall off the radar, or, you know, eventually start serving less frequently until they kind of drop off the face of the earth. No, you're having an intentional conversation of feedback to say, okay, well, how did we do? How did you grow? How did you grow both in your role-based skills and your core competencies? And it just gives you that natural way to do. You know, Todd, we're coming to the end of our time together, but one thing I did want to share, especially in this, is during COVID, we've actually revamped our system around membership. And I wanted to just quickly share that with our listeners, because what we're basically doing is we're incorporating membership into our leadership pipeline. So we're not necessarily having public classes that then go, okay, you know what? Hey, here's a first step. And if listeners, if you're familiar with my book, No Silver Bullets, I talk about a discipleship pathway where you got first steps, next steps, and ongoing steps. So membership class for a lot of churches is that first step. It's like, hey, we're going to have a membership class coming out. Here you go. This is what it's about and all that. And what we've actually done is moved it into the next steps realm, to the point where if you're coming on a weekend, or there's no way that you would ever be invited to a membership class. Rather, when you become a volunteer, which means you're leading yourself, you got a 1-year commitment, and you're going to get that role-based training and get in. But sometime during that year, you are going to do our membership course on Ministry Grid. And as you do that, you basically, during that first year of serving as a volunteer, it gives you that opportunity to still have the bar set low. So it's not like you gotta do a million things before you can serve. But sometime during that year, you're gonna learn, go through the membership class, learn and have a conversation, you know, high tech, high touch, with a real person, with your coach, most likely, about membership and what that all looks like. And And basically, by the end of that year, you have the opportunity to basically opt in or opt out. If you opt out and you're like, no, I don't want to be a member, then, you know, you're obviously not kicked out of the church, but we're not going to let you serve as a volunteer anymore. But if you do say, yeah, you know what, I do want to be a member, then yeah, you can continue to serve as a volunteer, but also have that conversation as to whether you want to move up and become a leader as well.
Good, man.
And then there's that whole side of, how do you do that with everyone who is already serving and not a member? Well, that's, you know, we got to work on that side too. But one thing at a time, right?
Right. Don't just grandfather everyone in.
No. We're not going to do that. Awesome. Well, you know what? Thanks again for listening into today's episode. Next week, we are going to continue on episode 608, talking about how to build back better by talking about preaching. All right, thanks again for listening in, and we'll catch you next time.